Welcome, welcome, welcome. Always good to get together, we say. And there is an outline on the back of the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along, look around and please share and see someone that didn't get an outline. From the reading that Rick gave this morning, we're going to talk about Paul and the congregation in Rome, but we're going to make it personal and talk about you and this congregation. We'll begin with a little self-examining question. I don't answer out loud. But the question is, how do you view your relationship in this congregation? Think about your participation, your care, your concern, your involvement. What's your relationship? How do you view it in this congregation? How do you display that? How do you show that or reveal it or even proclaim it? Just think about your relationship with one another in this congregation. In our lesson text, Paul reveals his relationship with the church in Rome, even though he's not there. He's going to talk about his participation with them, his care, and his concern. And in this letter, he sets the example for us in five ways. Paul, what do you think about the church in Rome and your involvement with it? Five ways. He's ending up key on verse, I'm beginning in verse 8 of the text. He said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Yeah. In verse 9, he says, I make mention of you in my prayers. In verse 11, he said, I long to see you. You long to see each other? That I may impart to you some spiritual gifts, and that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. And then in verse 13, he says, I plan to come to see you. And then the last, in verse 15, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So here's five statements that Paul makes in this introduction of this rather lengthy letter to the church in Rome. Let's take each one in turn. Number one, Paul was positive. He was positive. Remember, the opening question was, what's your relationship to the congregation here? How do you view that? You'll take it personally. It's a little self-examination. Paul said in verse 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. So he begins with a cheer-bringing word. Paul is saying to the brethren there, first and foremost, I'm talking to God about you. He says, I'm thanking God for you being in this congregation first. And we can do that too. When you get the picture board, when you go by, kind of look at a picture and just say quietly to yourself, you don't have to bow your head and fold your hands, but just walk as you're walking by. Thank you, God, for this individual. Oh, and this one too. Thank you. You can get out your directory. Turn those pages. Thank you, God, for these people. Just in your personal prayer. Thank you. Oh, bless them. Oh, help that one. Give them an extra measure, God. Oh, they need a prayer for healing. God, I pray for the well-being of that one. Keep turning the pages. See? That's what Paul says in his relationship to the congregation in Rome. First, I'm thanking God for you. In verse 8, Paul's thanksgiving of prayer included that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. When Paul writes to the brethren in Philippi, in Philippians 4, verse 22, he says, you know, there are saints in Caesar's household. Now there's brethren in Rome. Paul compliments their faith. Your faith is spoken of throughout the world. He lets them know, brethren in Rome, people know about you. So I'm saying, for us to make it personal now, thank you, God, for the faith of the brethren here. We sit in these pews. I want you to know about the faith, and I'm going to give you a little bit of this. you know that the faith of you, the brethren here in this congregation, is known throughout the world? I'm gonna illustrate that. Did you know that? This congregation's faith is known throughout the world. Our missionaries speak about our faithful support to them. When Jack Barber is here and he gives a report on Latin American missions, he uses this congregation as an example of faith to other congregations when he goes around the United States trying to get support for the Latin American missions. And he mentions this congregation as an example, as a matter of giving to the missionaries. So we're known in the States. We've supported young men to attend preacher training schools. Now, Christine and I have been here for 43 years. When we first came in the congregation here, we supported a young man who was in the Navy named Kip Adams. This goes back 40-some years. And Kip Adams was in the military. When he finished the military, he went to the Cincinnati Bible School. We gave him partial support to help him get through college. And he became a preacher back in Indiana. Ted Parks worshiped with us also when he was in the military. And he went, when he finished his military obligation here, he went to the Southwest School of Preaching in Austin, Texas. And he's still preaching. We supported James Fiffner and Max Turner, and they went to the Bear Valley School of Preaching in Denver, Colorado. And they're still preaching. We supported Matthew Pugh at the South Carolina School of Preaching, and he's still preaching in New York. You see? And these people are telling others about the faith of this congregation. Did you know members who have moved away have spoken about the faith of this congregation? And they've recommended this congregation to others when they're in the San Diego area to visit this congregation? Did you know when we have visitors from other states, they keep coming back to this congregation? They tell others when they go back to their home congregation, when you're in San Diego, you need to visit the congregation, Imperial Beach, 10th Street. Did you know our website is receiving hits worldwide? Did you know that? Years ago, just before the pandemic, Clarence gave a report on how many hits our website is getting from people, not only in the States, but in Europe. They look at our website. And many times they'll look at these sermon outlines. I don't know why. Clara says it. I know Jesse Aaron Gonzalez, he's mentioned our website to other preachers in Texas. And they look at our website. So I mentioned Jack Farr, our missionaries, our young 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've supported 5 young men in preacher training schools over the last years. And they're still preaching. We've had members that moved away and still mention our congregation to people where they're at. We have visitors from other states that keep coming back. There's a young man about 15, 16 years ago named Bill Goldman. I haven't seen him since the pandemic, but he was from Staten Island, New York. He'd come out here once a year in the middle of August and he'd worship with us. And so my favorite saying was that you'd think I've known Bill Goldman for 15 years, but I haven't. I've only known Bill Goldman for 15 hours. Because he just comes once a year to our worship assembly and goes back. But I'm sure he tells about us and his home congregation. Paul, what do you think? What's your relationship with the congregation in Rome? Well, first of all, I thank God for them. And he tells them, you know what, brethren? Your faith is known throughout the world. The faith of this congregation is known in the United States, in our missionary countries, Europe, other places. Your relationship with this congregation. Number 2, Paul prayed for them. Oh, that goes without saying, doesn't it? So verse 9, without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. And we can do that. I'm giving the example of Paul. What's your relationship with Rome? And let's look at our relationship with one another here. Did Paul pray for them? Well, let's pray too, for one another. You know, we have this prayerfully remember section in our bulletin. And there's others that we could mention that, you know, that we don't always make the bulletin, but we see those, they're absent today. Well, let's pray for them. Pray for them. I don't see Stan and Josie. I don't see them today, but I'm going to pray, call their name in prayer. Penny, don't see her this morning. We have names mentioned in the bulletin. Noah, back there, don't see him this morning. I'll pray for Noah. I don't know the situation. God bless him and these others. Yeah. Number three, Paul, what's your relationship with the congregation in Rome? Paul was a partner with them, a fellow laborer. And two things in this. Paul says, I have something for you and you have something for me. First thing he says in verse 11, I long to see you. If you're absent, do you long to see brethren? Can't wait to get back to my home congregation. Oh, I want to see my brethren. Paul says, I long to see you, but then there's a reason that I can impart to you some spiritual gift so that you can be established. Now, the gift that Paul mentions is not stated, but he says, so here you and I, let's make it personal again, you and I have something to give to this congregation. And when we're together, you and I can do that. But you can't give to me what you have when you're not here. You understand that? You have something to give to me, I can't receive it if you're not here. We need to use our talents. Use our opportunities to bless one another, because that's what Paul says. I long to see you. When I get there, I'm going to give you what I have. And for 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, Paul said to the brethren in Corinth, if there's first a willing mind, it's accepted to what a man has and not according to what he does not have. We just want you to use what you have to give to one another. That's accepted. Give what you have. And now, so Paul says, I have something for you. And then he says, you have something for me. Verse 12, the next verse. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Paul says, I want to be encouraged. And I can be encouraged when I get to see you. When I get there. When we're in friendship and fellowship and in the assembly together. You're going to give something to me. Yeah. So Paul's attitude toward the congregation was, we need to get together. I'm coming. Yeah. So brethren, there's a blessing that can only be received when we're in assembly or together. When you're not here, you can't give. And I can't receive. When you're not here, we both miss out. Because I can't give you what I have. And you can't give me what you have this morning if you're not here. Remember the song? Well, you have grandkids, but the Barney song? I love you. You love me. We're a happy family. Yeah. That's what Paul says. Brethren, you know what our relationship is? I long to see you, that I can give you what I have, and you can bless me and encourage me in my ministry when we get together. The value of assembly, don't ever diminish it. There's a treasure, a preciousness in assembly. And then number four, Paul planned. He said in verse 13, I often plan to come to you. Oh, but I was hindered. There may be some hindrances. It's Lord's Day morning. Oh, I hope it's a legitimate hindrance. But I hope you plan to assemble, because you have something for me and I have something for you. And not just me to you, but I mean even side by side. Side by side. Assembling with one another in worship. And I put in your notes, should be in your to-do list or your weekly planner. If you don't even write it down, it should be on your mind. Someone says, what are you doing Sunday morning? Oh, I know what I'm doing Sunday morning. I'm assembling with the brethren to give worship to God. I know what I'm doing. I can say there may be some hindrance, but don't let that stop you during the week from planning and praying that this is where I want to be Lord's Day morning. When you're planning to be here, plan to establish one another, as Paul said. I have something for you. I have something. I can't give it to you from where I am. But when we get together, I have something for you and you have something for me. Remember the opening question? Self-examination. What's your view of your relationship with the congregation here? The one was Paul's priority. It's in verses 15 and 16. Paul said, "For as much as is in me," that's right, "I can only do what I can do. As much as is in me. I may not be able to do what someone else can, but I can do what's in me. That's all that's required." So Paul says, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. You see, it's not only good just to get together, to pray, and encourage one another, but it's an opportunity for the gospel to be preached. Paul had a missionary outlook. And when I get there, oh yeah, there's a gift I want to give you, and you can give me encouragement, but I also want to give you the gospel message. As much as in me is. The same thing, same with us. You're probably thinking already, you know, I put in your notes. I say, I'm not a public speaker. I'm not a stand-up Bible class teacher. But you and I can preach a message in other ways. Two illustrations. I put one in your notes at the bottom of the page. But two illustrations on how you preach to one another. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, Paul reminds the brethren in Corinth of that event. And Paul gives some added information about that event when Jesus instituted his supper. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim." And what? You proclaim. Oh, but I'm not a preacher. I'm not a stand-up Bible class teacher. Oh, wait a minute. Paul said, when you, not the one that stands up here, but in the general assembly, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You see, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, yes, there's a look back, do this in remembrance of me. There's a time to look at to the present, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat and drink. And then when we do that, we look forward to the second coming of Jesus. You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we bear witness, we give testimony to our faith. Not only that Jesus lived and died for us, but that we believe he's coming again. You proclaim when you partake of that Lord's Supper. And then the other one, the manner in which you live is a testimony of your faith. It's a proclamation. Jesus said it this way in John 13, verse 34. "A new commandment I give unto you." That's an old commandment. But he said, Jesus is going to make it new. He says, it's new that you love one another as I have loved you. That you love one another by this, by our relationship in the congregation, by the things that we do and say, by this, all will know that you are my disciples. We make a proclamation. We preach a lesson by our love for one another. So not only do we do it here in the assembly, in the event of partaking of the Lord's Supper, we make a proclamation. We do it when the church is scattered by our love for one another. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." So now the conclusion is, or the question is, we looked at these five things. Paul, what's your relationship with the church in Rome? Well, I'm positive. I pray for them. I sure do. I remind them your faith is spoken of throughout the world, just as ours is. Paul prays for them. I make mention of you always in my prayer. Let me recommend this afternoon, tomorrow morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Turn those pages. Pray. Paul saw himself as a partner. When I get to be with you, I'm going to give you what I have, and you're going to give me what you have. It's reciprocal. Then number four, Paul planned. What are you going to do next Lord's Day morning? Well, right now, I plan to be in the assembly. I might be hindered, but right now I'm planning to meet again next Lord's Day morning. And then last, the priority, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel, and you're going to do that as much even as I do. To your participation in worship, in your singing, your praying, your giving, singing, Lord's Supper, listening, we make a proclamation. That's the lesson. Yeah. Be sure to see yourself as a member of this congregation in the way that you participate, in the way that you have care and concern for one another. That's the lesson. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. Designed, if you've not obeyed the gospel message, you had that opportunity this morning, right now. You have it at any time. Right now, we're extending that invitation. If you haven't been baptized for remission of sins, you had that opportunity. Jesus' last commission, you know it very well in Matthew chapter 20. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all the nations. How are you going to do that? Baptizing them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And Mark records it in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Preach the gospel to all the world, or to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus wants a salvation message preached. And he that doesn't believe is condemned. So that's the message we preach at the close of every lesson. It's an invitation. It's a word of exhortation, too. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that's elected for us. Desire, if that's your resolve, simply let it be known at the close of this song.